Permanent Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
And welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. It's been an interesting weekend for me. I hope it has been for you as well. We are now at January the 8th on the East Coast, January the 7th, 2008 on the West Coast. And you know the drill. I'll let you figure out the time zones in the middle. I have some interesting news to share based upon some things that have been going on with the mainstream media. And I'm this is something you're going to hear about a few times this week, if not more, possibly from some guests this week as well as from myself. Just a reminder, I will be doing TNT News Hour Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, and I encourage all the listeners out there to check out that time slot every day of the week, actually. I am the Wednesday host, but we're adding a new dimension to BBS Radio. We've been doing it for a few weeks now, and it's becoming quite popular, Stan, and we are discussing the elements of the news that you just don't get on mainstream media, whether it's TV, AM, FM radio, or your typical news publications, the big town newspapers, magazines, news magazines, what have you. We're getting a lot of spin. What's interesting is people are starting to awaken to that fact. And it's a mantra of this show, as well as many other shows here on BBS Radio. And people are generally appreciative of the message. If they were giving us positive news, I can guarantee you we would be talking about the positive things, but there's very little of it. It's so controlled, and it's obvious that the intention is to continue to dumb us down. People are waking up, though. Again, I repeat myself, people are waking up. And this scares the daylights out of the powers that be. Their world government, or their one world government, which is spoken and prophesied in the Bible, is moving along, maybe not as quickly as they would like it to move along, and they're pulling out all the stops right now. I would like to, before I give any shout-outs, I'd actually like to share something that I wrote. Don Newsom has posted it on the TNT news page on the BBSRadio.com website. I urge you to go there and read what is posted there. I haven't checked it out today. I have to admit I have been too busy to do so. However, Don tells me that he has posted this piece that I'm going to read to you because I think it bears hearing for those of you who aren't that keen to reading. I composed a little email that I sent to Fox News. Actually, I sent it to feedback@foxnews.com. Of course, I haven't heard any feedback from it, but I didn't expect to necessarily. It's quite a scathing attack, and it's based upon my sentiments about the exclusion of Ron Paul from the New Hampshire debate, if you want to call it that. It's been called various things, a forum, and they have hand-picked which candidates on the Republican ticket that they prefer to promote. Of course, Dr. Paul has won all of the debates in which he has participated based on the polls that they took, anywhere from, let's say, 52 points up to maybe slightly higher than 87%. I've heard as high as 90%. Of course, we don't know how accurate those numbers are, but when they admit that his numbers are that high, and then they can turn around and produce election results, even though they're preliminary results, let's say, as those in the state of Ohio, where they give him something on the order of 8 or 10% of the vote, it's ridiculous that those who fare very poorly in the debates are seen nonetheless to be superior candidates and more popular. In my mind, the results of Barack Obama on the Democratic side, edging out Hillary Clinton, is too large a pill to swallow. It, for some reason, it appears that that vote has been played with. It's very unlikely that the people in Iowa would vote for him. And unfortunately, a lot of that has to do with his race. It's not my viewpoint, but I know how the old money and the old farmers speak, and they're not likely to vote for him. So there's some fudging of the figures going on. My intuition tells me that, and a lot of other people agree. So I'm not alone in that viewpoint. Nonetheless, despite what Fox has decided, that they were going to exclude Ron Paul from the debate, I thought it was time I say something. And I have been encouraging others, and I've heard other talk show hosts on some other networks also encouraging people to voice their true feelings about what Fox is doing. And unfortunately, in the business world, the only thing that these people understand is hurting their pocketbook. So various people have suggested that we boycott the advertisers, that this would definitely have an impact upon them. Of course, when you're owned by one of the richest men in the world, at least the majority ownership is by such a person, you would presume that this person would be in a position to keep pumping money into the losses, in the loss column. There is a most likely a participatory fee that these networks receive for towing the mantra that the government would prefer and the intelligence agencies would prefer that they broadcast the talking points, they broadcast the spin, they obfuscate the truth, and basically just keep us from knowing what the truth is. Well, we're not that stupid. And I just felt it was time to say something, so I'm going to share that with you right now. And this is a letter that I wrote early this morning and sent to Fox News. And here we go. To whom it may, but probably doesn't, concern. Your network's decision to exclude presidential candidate Dr. Ron Paul from the New Hampshire debate is not only a gross miscalculation, it is indicative of the cold, callous, and even conspiratorial methods you employ in order to obfuscate the truth. Shame on all of you. Fox News obviously relies on the repetitive mantras formerly reserved to pre-World War II Nazi Germany and the Zionist fascist propaganda spewed by a ruthless regime bent on world domination and the annihilation of anyone that stood in its way. You have gravely underestimated the intelligence and the discernment of your viewing audience. As an occasional listener, I have found it increasingly difficult to sit through more than 5 minutes of any of your fair and balanced newscasts without fighting the urge to vomit, or purchase one of the many pharmaceutical wares your sponsors peddle to help overcome nausea and achieve a modicum of relief. you have yet to find a sponsor whose product can produce such a result. Your so-called expert commentators have obviously been compromised, either through the news department higher-ups or through intelligence agency-mandated protocols, otherwise known as propaganda. Your willingness to parrot the same talking points heard on your competitors' networks smacks of the brainwashing techniques employed by the other networks and their sponsors. I laugh at your weak-kneed political analyses and your refusal to adequately credit the important journalistic contributions of your political contributors. For example, you are quick to point out William Kristol's affiliation with the Weekly Standard, though it would be far more fair and balanced to reveal his contributions to the Project for a New American Century, the PNAC, and its relationship to 9/11 and the War on Terror. Insulting your audience, including the many supporters of Ron Paul, has become your new trademark. To charge that his supporters are wackos, conspiracy theorists, or nutcases is indicative of your ignorance. Blaming the popularity Congressman Paul has garnered on the Internet, which, by the way, is an excellent source of the fair and balanced truth, is moronic. After all, Fox has its own Internet sites, does it not? The Internet just happens to be our preferred method of finding and sharing the truth. We have no ulterior motives. Can you or anyone else in the mainstream media honestly make the same declaration? As a journalist and a talk show host, I will continue to expose the intentionally slanted, disingenuous, and conspiratorial trash you call news. I will also continue to educate the masses about the various anomalies that reveal the true nature of the mainstream media and who pulls your puppet strings. Your sponsors have no influence on me, nor on the purchases I make. Rest assured that that reality is no danger. However, you can bet that my readers and listeners will hear the truth in what I write and broadcast and will act accordingly. They will respond as they see fit. Your fair and balanced poll should be an accurate appraisal of a shortfall in advertising revenue, that is, if you can come to grips with the backlash of a consumer boycott. Your network's refusal to accurately report what is really going on in the world is itself a scandal. But then, I am not revealing anything that you yourselves do not already know. The public, your listening audience, is now finding that out for themselves. You have obviously resorted to attacking the messenger due to the realization that the message itself cannot be attacked, especially when based upon the truth. What a noble cause. Finally, your refusal to permit Ron Paul to participate in the candidates' forum is the straw that broke the camel's back. You have gambled and lost, and so have your handlers. One may wonder to what extent the American public can be dumbed down. I suggest that Fox News should be the benchmark for such a measurement in the future. Sincerely, Don Nikoloff. And that is the letter I sent to Fox. And I urge all the listeners out there, if you support an open and fair election, I don't really care if you're supporting Dr. Ron Paul, Congressman Paul, as he is known in most circles. What I do care about is that all the candidates get the same fair shake. And that's not what's going on. In fact, Dr. Paul has set two records in fundraising in one-day spurts that occurred very recently, and they just can't come to grips with the fact that these people, these wackos, these nutcases, these conspiracy theorists that use the Internet that they invented, that use the Internet that they make billions of dollars from, and that they have infiltrated with their propaganda, much like the mainstream airwaves that they occupy, and the trash that they call newspapers, that it's actually quite difficult to get a puppy to pee on when you're trying to house train them. That they would attack us and attack the same media alternative that we have from the internet is ridiculous. Just recognize the spin. If it upsets you that they do that, that you're not hearing the truth, then take the time and just write to feedback@foxnews.com and give them a piece of your mind. Now, another individual who is quite outspoken in the media and in the alternative media, I should say, is attorney or lawyer, you could call him, Edward J. Steele. And his website, conspiracypenpal.com, features another letter. Actually, it's in some ways more scathing, and the language is on the edge a little bit. He's using the F word, although he has removed the middle letters. You can pretty much figure out what the word is. But he is doing also a hit piece on Fox, and it's quite a long piece of work that he sent. He also attached numerous email addresses for everyone that works at Fox and some other media. So I encourage you also to go to conspiracypenpal.com. There is the www in front of that, and check out what Edgar J. Steele has said. It rings of the truth, and it hits home. Now, he has stood up for many people who have been shortchanged in the legal system, and he's done quite a bit of pro bono work, mostly in the western states. And I believe he's in Idaho, which is kind of a coincidence, because my publisher is also in Idaho, the Idaho Observer. And there seem to be a lot of people in that state who are very awake as to what's going on in this country and throughout the world. They've, for a long time, been reading The Observer and getting a good dose of the truth on a monthly basis for years, over 11 years now. And they take a very proactive stance in virtually everything that affects us, not just politics itself, but many of the laws that are handed down, which affect our lives. The issue of vaccinations and the issues regarding our environment. Idaho is a beautiful state, and it's being trashed by the powers that be, with their mission to bring this country down. So I urge you to express your opinions like I did, and like is your right. We still have that right, and we must exercise it. It's like muscles that you don't use. If you don't get exercise, your muscles atrophy, and eventually you're not capable of doing anything. And they're counting on that. So please take a stand and voice your opinion. Of course, if you really don't have one, then you probably wouldn't even be listening to this show right now. That said, there are a few other things that I would like to discuss. But before I go into those topics, I would like to give a shout out to some listeners across the country. And remember John in California. Actually, he's not too far from the BBS studios, and Marianne in Arkansas, also Cherie in Nashville, Tennessee, Michael in New York, and as usual, Karen, Bob, and Bill, David, Crenshaw, Zachariah, Sheila, and Jill, and the General, the folks with Project Alliance. Thank you for listening. Thank you for all that you do to make this show possible and encourage me to keep coming forward with the truth. Of course, one thing is that we have God on our side, and the the way the story goes, it's already been prophesied that we will win in this battle. Although we intend to do it peacefully, and we intend to do it with a heightened state of consciousness, we must face the issues and face them squarely. And I have given on numerous occasions a bit of my own views on what is happening on a spiritual level. Now, I'm speaking about also, you know, the increase of consciousness on the planet and the fact that that the powers that be are actually afraid of what's happening. They're doing everything they can to mask or impede the energies that are permeating the Earth and our atmosphere and changing the state of consciousness on the planet. As we wake up as individuals and as we wake up collectively and we become more aware and more conscious, we are actually assisting the Earth in the same process. And of course, the Earth assists us, but there are more issues behind this of a universal nature, and it's occurring all over the solar system. We hear nothing about it. We hear nothing about it. Now, we know we're not going to hear about that in the mainstream media. They don't have the time. They spend their time talking about Britney Spears and the other girls that they've basically turned into what I call blonde bimbos. So with their preoccupation in trying to brainwash us, we are awakening, and they are trying their best. This is the issue of chemtrails. We'll be talking about that in future shows. I had the recent opportunity to view the chemtrails from the other side of the clouds, and they're still there. I always suspected that when we have complete cloud cover over 50%, 75%, even 100% of our nation, there is a lot of spraying going on. It's many of us have not seen the sun for any extended period of time. I can remember as a child we used to see it sometimes for weeks without seeing any cloud cover. Now it's the opposite. If we're lucky, we get a glimpse at it before the day is gone. And the amount of saturation and the amount of illness that's being caused from the spraying speaks for itself. That is a topic that we'll be getting closer to in the coming days. There is new research coming out about chemtrails and what is contained in the aerosol plumes that they are spraying nonstop all over the planet. And also there some of this new information is attributed directly to Morgellons disease. And we'll get into that more also when we explore the issue of chemtrails. Now, in terms of what's been happening in the world, some people have not even heard this story, although it has been reported in the mainstream media. Actually, we get the spin about the assassination of former Pakistani Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto. We heard reports following her assassination last week that it was a gunshot, then it was a bomb, then it was a gunshot, then it was hitting her head while she was peeping through the sunroof to wave at crowds. Some interesting facts, and I don't have everything behind this, although it's been pointed out by several sources, that she had met with Condoleezza Rice, and Rice convinced her to return to Pakistan and begin a new campaign approach the seat of the highest political office in the nation of Pakistan. Of course, Prime Minister Musharraf, with the intent of impeding any further election, declared martial law and thus making himself a full-fledged dictator. And though our government didn't really even say much about that fact, probably because they didn't want to draw attention to the fact that Bhutto was going to be assassinated. Now, I saw a report early this morning about some medical, let's call it an autopsy that was performed, and the doctors, and there were many doctors involved in this, I understand, who had said that they found evidence of an electromagnetic weapon that had caused skull damage. And it was invisible to the naked eye looking at her, but when they did further studies and, I guess, brain scans and what have you, they were able to see this damage. And so we can assume that our intelligence agencies were behind it, most likely the CIA, and using some of the advanced weaponry that we have. It's no big secret that this technology is out there. We talk about these types of devices to some extent, or we approach the technology of these devices, and here we have an example of it being used. You could draw a comparison to the collapse of the bridge in Minnesota a couple of months ago as the same type of weapon, although they used a much greater dose to bring that bridge down than they would have to target at a human being. But nonetheless, it did its job, and we await further news and further developments about this. And of course, not from the mainstream, because they're going to spin the story how they see fit and how they've been told to spin it. Interesting that this topic has come up, not just as a topic itself, but in relationship to other topics and what is going on globally in terms of our world economy, or I should say their world economy. And I come to now the recent report, actually of January 5th, last Saturday, of Christopher Story at his worldreports.org website. Seems that Mr. Story has been given a large amount of data regarding what he calls the global data theft operation by the criminal cadres. And this is just another element, according to him, of the world revolution and how it's being exposed. Now, he's quick to point out at the beginning of this January 5th article that the British authorities are part of the web of criminality. Understanding the world revolution as a whole, rather than in pieces, is the key to understanding what's going on. Mr. Story goes on to say that the counter-revolution must get a grip on what it is up against. Now, who is the counter-revolution? Well, anybody that wants to get at the truth and stop all of this corruption, particularly the financial frauds that are occurring. The subprime crisis is a topic which he wrote on earlier, I believe it was the 2nd of January, and he wrote a pretty scathing article about how the banks have engineered these bad loans so that they could move in and foreclose on the properties. Of course, what the banks don't tell you is that when you buy a piece of property and that property and the assets of the bank are sold to another bank, in other words, they acquire the paper, usually there's not even an exchange of funds, actually. It's just all off-the-books type of ledger or line items that they either add together or divide up into little chunks, and they move them around where they want to hide the fact that these loans are bad. In other words, it looks like there's been a big buyout of a bank, and really, someone has taken over the bank, but they don't hold the original contract of the homeowner or the landowner. And that's an interesting sidelight to what is going on, because when they foreclose, if the person who is making the payments towards the house, either the person who has secured a mortgage or may actually have paid for the house, it wouldn't matter if they even paid cash, they are trying to claim some ownership to the property based on this transaction that they completed with the bank, the first bank, we'll say, or with the mortgage company that actually gave the initial loan to the home buyer. So you're paying, you're going on paying for a house. Let's say you pay $100,000 for the house. And by the time you're finished paying it over a 30-year period, you're really paying, and I'm just rounding these figures off, in the neighborhood of $300,000. That doesn't make the house worth $300,000. Try and sell it for $300,000. But they made a fortune fictitiously escalating the values of many of these properties, at least on their side, once they made the purchases. But they never purchased them back, or they never foreclosed them and actually pay the $300,000. Now, let's say you default on a home loan and you've only paid a small portion, maybe $50,000 of that whole loan. Well, the calculation of the principal and all the interest that builds up over a 30-year period doesn't even enter into the picture. You've paid $25,000 towards a $100,000 house. As far as they're concerned, $75,000 will get them that home. At least they do that on paper. So now they start with $75,000, and now they have a house that's worth $100,000, so they literally steal your $25,000 when they foreclose, and they repeat the whole process all over again. So they're making money, making money, making money, making money, and you probably haven't experienced the worth of what you've put into the house in terms of how long you've been there. You certainly could have rented the place for much less than that, and yet they're repeating this process much like they do with the fiat system, the usury system, the fictitious money out of thin air system that we have thanks to the Federal Reserve and the Federal Reserve Act of 1913. Such financial systems throughout history have failed, and most have not made it past 100 years. And we are not even up to 100 years yet, and it's failing drastically. And they know it. And part of the problem is that we're waking up. Part of the problem is that we are speaking out, and maybe this has never even occurred in history other than when the United States was formed. And the pilgrims and the colonists came here to what was known as the new land or the new country, America, and they, at least as history portrays it, were fighting the taxes that the King of England imposed upon them. So America was seen as a God-ordained country that was created to reestablish man's God-given sovereignty, the freedom that we were given at birth to make our own choices. Well, they've basically spent all of our history trying to steal back that power, but it's been infused with people from other countries, particularly Germany and Russia, and basically we're talking about the Zionist, fascist, communist, socialist regimes that have controlled countries in Europe and Eastern Europe and certain parts of Asia for centuries, actually. And they have slowly, little by little, plotted to take over our country. And so we are witnessing that. Now, how do they do this? Well, we had a war, and we're coming to see, or we're coming to understand, that despite what is written in the history books, these wars are planned so that the military-industrial complex, those companies that manufacture all the things that are used to create wars, weapons and ammunition, and the things to support the wars, such as railroads that transport coal and oil and rubber products, and then the metals, the instruments of war themselves, including the bombs and all the things that cause destruction and the decadence of society, not to mention what happens to the people alone, but also take into consideration the infrastructure. And think about what this does to nature itself. What it does to tearing the time-space fabric when you set off an atomic bomb, or more than one atomic bomb, not to mention the testing that goes on. These are not things that the people are desiring to see these wars, so they have to concoct a story. They have to concoct a reason why they have them. And while they get this war going on, and wars, I would submit, are primarily excuses to take advantage and rob banks. They did this in Iraq to the tune of $100 trillion in this latest Gulf War that was started in Iraq. And then you have Afghanistan, which they're spending virtually no money on repairing anything, while they're building 14 bases in Iraq, and they're intentionally trying to provoke a war with Iran, so again they can keep this military-industrial complex and its gears and its wheels greased, so they can keep the money flowing in. And you have all these politicians running for president, telling us how we cannot leave Iraq because we have all these contracts, all these big companies are over there, and they're fulfilling their duties. They signed agreements for billions and billions of dollars, and we can't just leave and leave all that work undone. Well, that's not the real reason. That's the excuse because it sounds like it might be plausible. Oh, no, we can go over to a country that doesn't belong to us, and we can begin murdering well over a million people. We can cause chaos everywhere. We can continue selling drugs, because we've taken over the poppy fields in Afghanistan. And we can deal with all the countries throughout the world who are our partners in these illegal drug deals. And in the meantime, drive millions more people, create refugees that have to flee to other countries, and then cause the war to spread. Now, who do you blame for that? Well, you have to blame the Muslims, because they're fighting Christianity. Yet here, our people fail to recognize that they're taking God out of the schools, they're taking God out of any public place, and at the same time, they're calling us themselves, these leaders themselves are calling themselves Christians and calling this a Christian nation, but they spend their time undermining it and destroying it, to the point where even the TV preachers and the ministers who should be setting an example for Christianity have sold their souls for the same military-industrial complex and supporting the causes of Israel that has been behind the fomentation of wars for over 2,000 years. Now, a lot of people don't want to hear that, but it's the truth. And the Jews themselves have been victims of war, and let's get this clear, that it was the Zionists. They were the people that were faking who they were. They had to masquerade as someone other than they were, just like they do today. They're the media. They're the movie Mecca in Hollywood. And they will not admit it, but those of us in the know see the game and see who's controlling it. All you have to do is follow the money, folks, and you can see who's behind it and who's responsible. Why do they need to create central banks in New York? Ask yourself that question. They created the Federal Reserve as a central bank, and yet the Federal Reserve is not federal. It's not American. It's a foreign bank. And the same people behind the creation of that bank were behind the murder of millions and millions of people during World War I, during World War II, and at points in between as they were taking control of these countries. Germany, for example, is one place where there were a lot of Jews. The Rothschild banking system, being of Jewish extraction, actually targeted their own people and stole their assets, which were deposited in their banks. It was the easiest way to steal their money was to exterminate them. And I get emails from people after I've written and exposed, along with other researchers. Webster Tarpley wrote a very good book about it was called The Unofficial Autobiography of George Herbert Walker Bush, or George Bush. And he spoke about the Nazi connections with the central banks. G. Edward Griffin wrote The Creature from Jekyll Island and talked about how the Federal Reserve was created. I went down the rabbit hole and dug up the records of when these people actually came here to the United States, some 10 years prior to the establishment of the Federal Reserve. And you could see that they were able to lie about who they were and bribe the immigration officials, permitting them to come in without even filling out the paperwork that every other person that came to this country had to complete. And then there were occasions when the wrong person was at the port at Ellis Island and was not going to allow them the same courtesy. And so they made statements like they'd never been in the United States, although it was documented in prior years. It was their records that I dug up. It was their records that I wrote about, and all I did was connect the dots and say, seems to me that Paul Warburg lied about who he was when he first came to America. He was from Germany. He was working for the Rothschild Bank, managing the London and Paris banks for that family, one of the Illuminati families, by the way. And then he's declaring he's an American, living in New York. He had an address prepared and everything. Well, you better believe that when they came in, someone gave him the address that he was to use. And you better believe that the INS official that filled out the paperwork when Mr. Warfield, who was on line one of the elite passenger list, the first class list, arrived. They made sure that these people were bribed. They bragged that they were going to bribe our officials in many of the publications that described how they were going to overtake America. So this is not new what's going on today. They're doing the same thing in the banks. I went further down the rabbit hole and looked at the son of Loeb, one of the partners in Kuhn Loeb and Company, which was also another one of the banking systems, one of the central banks in New York. And they ended up working with Union Banking Corporation, which was put together with an international money laundering scheme as its foundation between Berlin and Holland, and New York. And they laundered the money and got the money to Adolf Hitler's war machine. They got it to Fritz Thyssen. Fritz Thyssen gave it to Hitler through Hitler's superiors. It didn't go directly to Hitler, as many people think, but there was a hierarchy of generals that were working for the powers that be, such as the Tavistock Institute in England at that time. they had sent some 235 officers or more, including Adolf Hitler, to be brainwashed, to be mind-controlled, to carry out this agenda. Let's not forget about the city of London that basically controls the world's finances secretly. New York is, for years, has been touted as the financial center of the world, yet they had no problem in destroying the financial center buildings on two 110-story towers, brought to a free fall, turned to dust and powder, with thousands of human beings in there, probably many, many more, at least twice as many as have been reported in the media to have died. And it was such a smooth act, so well thought out, that they could make four airplanes disappear in different parts of the country, and all the people, all the passengers, just make them totally disappear. Yet they concocted idiotic stories, like finding a passport of one of the hijackers two blocks away from a building that had been virtually vaporized. And down American public believed it, although the rest of the world sort of knew what happened. Then the reporting by the BBC of a building falling down, well, let's say about a half an hour prior to its falling down. And somehow we have to have a commission to tell us what it was on 9/11 and what we experienced. Don't dare tell that to anyone that survived and got out of the building alive. But you see, they have ways of silencing those people as well. So what am I getting at here? Well, these events were staged just like Hitler's Reichstag fire, which was designed to give him an excuse to basically start World War II. He was a puppet. And we have been made puppets, in a sense, by our reaction to 9/11 and our refusal to accept the alternative media's assessment of what went on. There's been a lot of research that's come out and shown that this was planned to take over the country. Simultaneously, we have the banks involved in money laundering. And Christopher Story, in his most recent article, which I alluded to a few minutes ago, produced a list. And I urge anyone who is interested in seeing what their bank, their university, their insurance company, their hospital, and a variety of other governmental institutions, some of these are actually state and city governments that have had Social Security numbers, birth dates, and what are called national insurance numbers in the UK, stolen and used for identity theft, in other words, to launder money into real estate, into anything that's imaginable that you can do with finance on the open market. They have done it. Literally millions of people's identities have been stolen. Not once, not twice, maybe 100 times. The same ones over and over. And we're talking about medical records that have been stolen. For what purpose? Well, they use the names, they use the Social Security numbers to fabricate what would on the surface appear to be legal transactions, transfers of property, or the liquidation of property and the conversion of the property into some other asset to be taken to an offshore account, or to prop up some hedge fund or derivative or some stock, some normal common stock. They've attacked their own people. Now, who's behind this? Well, it's obvious that it's organized crime. In fact, I've been doing my own research on what's going on in the Cook County courts in the state of Illinois. And I've come up with some facts that Mr. Story also has come upon. And he points out the same crime family that I found working in Maricopa County, Arizona. And that's the Sucato crime family. And what they also call the East Valley aspect of that that organized crime faction that's operating in the Phoenix, Arizona area. I've seen the documents on that website, and I've seen their attempts around July 3rd, July 4th of last year. Over that weekend, they were doing some maintenance. They were trying to hide everything that was on that website. And then it's public information. Anyone should be able to have access to that information. For instance, if you're looking to buy a piece of property, or if you're about to come into ownership of a piece of property, if you've been willed a piece of property and you want to find something out about it, you should be able to find that information. It's public information. But they have turned it into a business where you're charged to look at it. Really, the reason for that is they want to track your every movement. They want to know who's looking at the information. Well, it's in that we all start looking at the information, that we wake up and realize what's going on. Because, folks, you think you own your property. If you own it, you have a title to it, and the title is just giving you permission to stay there. That's the whole point behind eminent domain. If they want to take it, they just move in and take it. And it's the same with your automobiles or your trucks or your boats, any or your motorcycles. Your motor vehicles have titles to them. But when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, they're going to tell you, no, this is a privilege that you are using this. You're taking care of this for the state. This is in the land of the free that this is going on, by the way. So Mr. Story really wrote a pretty large article, and he lists universities all over the country and describing hundreds of thousands or even millions of Social Security numbers that have been stolen. We heard about one of these cases last year, and it involved the FBI. Someone had removed a hard drive or taken a laptop computer and it disappeared, and they said, oh, there were 47,000 Social Security numbers that belonged to veterans that were stolen. Why does one steal someone else's Social Security number? Well, identity theft. What can you do with identity theft? You can steal someone's bank account. You can steal their property. You can steal their vote, especially if they've died. It's a tool that's used. I know of an attorney who's the head of a Democratic Party in a small town in north central Ohio that every voting season, he calls up the Board of Elections and requests the lists of all the deceased. And I can guarantee you he's not scratching their name off the list, but that they know how to file absentee ballots on these people's behalf, and no one ever checks it because we're not allowed to look at those things. And you've got electronic voting going on now, which is a big issue. Already the Iowa results are being contested. The person that has raised more money over the internet, Ron Paul, is tucked around position number 4. Conveniently, they don't want to make it look totally bogus. They want to make it look like, well, everybody woke up and they decided Mike Huckabee was the candidate, and Rudy Giuliani and John McCain. And these are the people that are touting beating the war drums They're not talking about peace in the world, and they're not talking about honesty in the government. They're espousing themselves as to be Christians. They're presenting themselves to care about the small man, while everything they do feeds this military-industrial complex and puts a smokescreen up around all the corruption that's going on. I won't even go into Ambassador Lee Wanta's $4.5 trillion settlement that they hijacked. Check out more what's happening with Merrill Lynch. I heard that they're in quite a bit of hot water, that some directors and employees with Merrill Lynch over this real estate, this mortgage scandal, have been arrested. So there is some truth in what Christopher Story has been reporting, even though it doesn't come out in the mainstream media. And I heard this from a very qualified source. So much about what he's been reporting, including the shooting and the passing away of Henry Paulson. We heard today that Paulson was speaking at the Westin Hotel in New York, delivering a speech to some bankers in New York City. And we heard that he was there, but was he there just because someone was told to say that, or was he there because someone heard that he was there? Or did this person actually see him? And was it him? Or was it a double? Was it a stand-in? You see, we're at a point in our history where we have to ask those types of questions because that's how they operate. Remember the weapon I mentioned that they used on former Prime Minister Bhutto of Pakistan. They couldn't get the story straight three times in the beginning because that wasn't the story. And that these doctors, numerous doctors, have come out and said that they've found evidence that an electromagnetic weapon was used, which caused internal damage that was not visible on the outside. The physical damage was seen using electronic means. So they have to hide everything they do. They have to cover it up. Why do they do it? Well, they're power hungry. They're bordering on, if they're not just psychopaths, they're bordering on total insanity and demonic possession. And those of us who know of the spiritual realm and what these people conjure up through their evil magic, It's what they do. It's what they do. You stand in their way, and they have to take you out. They've done it to presidents. They'll do it to anyone. But we have to recognize the God-given power that we have within us and rise to that level. And if we don't do it for ourselves, do it for our children and our grandchildren. We can't pretend that this isn't happening. We have to take a stand, and we have to be outspoken about it, and we have to do something about it. We start with ourselves, and as we move through time and become more conscious, these things will just fall by the wayside. It's what they don't want us to do, but it's our destiny. It's what God created us to do and be. And I know I'll be picking up this subject in a future show. We've run out of time. I've actually gone over a few minutes here. I want to thank Don Newsom and Seth for the great sound tonight. And I want to thank the listeners for tuning in. Tell your friends about us. Visit my website, directlightproductions.com. Also, be ready for the Wednesday TNT News Hour. I'll be the host, and I'll be sharing some news items that you don't hear in the mainstream media. In the meantime, thank you for listening to the show. Peace, love, and light. Have a good night.